Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the apostles, as I was telling the kids, the apostles just heard about how many times they are to forgive someone who is repentant. Did you hear that number again? Some have translated the Greek to say 77 times, God bless you, and some have translated it to be 70 times 7. Which do you prefer?
77.
Yes, 77 times. But with God, there is no end to this, is there? So what would your reaction be if you heard that? Just like the apostles, right? Just like the apostles, the disciples, those that are gathered around Jesus. Increase my faith. Oh my gosh, that is perhaps one of the hardest things that I can do. Because guess what? If it were up to me, I could not forgive that many times. What do we always say here in this particular country? Blank strikes and you're out. Three strikes and you're out. Not God's world, is it?
No,
not at all. So then this begs the question. I had to fit that in there. This begs the question. Since they're begging for increasing in faith, forget it. What is faith? What is faith? When do you know that you have enough faith? How do I even get more faith? Will knowledge increase my faith? Will saying the Apostles' Creed properly increase my faith? Will believing everything in that creed and everything, will that increase my faith? And by the way, how much faith do I need? How do I know that I have enough? I'm going to tell you something, and I don't think there's anybody in here as a little child or maybe even as adult that didn't say, tree, uproot yourself and throw yourself over there. Right? How much faith do you have in order for that to happen? Do I just need to be more confident in what I have been told is true? How many of you have heard this? Well, when something bad happens to you, they'll say, well, clearly you didn't have enough faith. Now, I don't know anybody who has said that to me, but I'm curious if anybody has thought that before. Or if you had more faith, things would have turned out differently, right? You just gotta have more faith. We hear it over and over again. How about the times when we ourselves have felt as if we have lost our faith? Pastor Marjorie's book, for those of you who have read it, will tell you about a pastor, a minister, who had to get up every Sunday and preach about a faith that she had lost. She had a crisis of faith. How many of us have had this crisis of faith, right? Or perhaps in your life now, you say, man, just a few years ago, my faith was so much stronger than it was now. Will I increase my faith by knowing more, by studying the Bible more, by being able to recite passages from the Bible? Is that the way it works? Do I focus more on my beliefs about God? Well, what is the difference between faith and belief? Now I'm talking Luke's gospel, because each of the gospels are different in what they say Jesus said about faith. So this is Luke's gospel that we're talking about here. So here's a picture I want you to take a good look at. How many of you have been to a circus before? Anybody here ever attend the circus, right? And so you see all the clowns, and I'm not a clown fan at all. Clowns just creep me out. And my father did clown ministry, and I had to admit to him that I didn't like clowns. And he did it since he was young. So clowns aren't my thing, but the acrobats and all the everything that goes on at the circus, right? And how about the ones that are flying through the air, right, on the trapeze with the greatest of ease? And how about those that are walking the tightrope, right? So Nick Walenda is part of the Walenda family that did, you know, the tightrope walking. And I don't know which one this is, where he is going across on the bicycle. Many, 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 many stories up. But here's a question that a ringmaster might ask someone, or if you were sitting there watching this live, someone might ask you, and here is the question. If you believe this man can ride across the tightrope, riding a bicycle, with someone on his shoulder, which we don't see here right now, if you believe that this man is capable of doing that, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Do you believe that this man is capable, with someone on his shoulder, of riding across the tightrope? We've seen it done quite a number of times, haven't we? Okay, so you believe that? You believe that? Okay. Wonderful. Who would like to be the first person to volunteer to sit on that man's shoulders?
No.
See, that is the difference between belief and faith. It's the difference between saying, I'm going to stay in my seat, or I'm going to volunteer to climb on the shoulders of Nick Walenda. So how do you increase your faith there? Our culture says bigger is better. More is better. So how do I even calculate my faith so I can see a bar chart like this, right? Because aren't we all goal-oriented and we want to see our faith increase in this way? Well, how can you calculate what it is? You can't. Because that's what Jesus is really saying in this parable, is you can't measure your faith. When it comes to faith, size doesn't matter. The amount doesn't matter. Doesn't that make you just want to breathe a sigh of relief? It doesn't matter. Even something as small as a mustard seed, God can use. So a minuscule amount of faith is enough. A minuscule amount of faith will cause the mulberry tree to be uprooted and thrown into the sea. A little faith is enough faith. Now, the example that Jesus gave, Jesus was probably standing there talking, looked over and saw a mulberry bush, right? And wanted to use a metaphor. That's all it is. It's a metaphor. It's not some magical thing that if you have enough faith, that tree is going to get uprooted and thrown into the sea. So we're not taking Jesus verbatim here, literally. He could have seen anything and used it as an example. Jesus is once again pointing to what I think, and what I think you would agree with me, is one of our greatest challenges. Focusing on ourselves. Think about that. Increase my faith is just, you know, like, you know, increase my faith, make me stronger, you know, make me stronger. But here's what Jesus is really saying. It's not about the size of our faith. It's really all about God's faithfulness to us. It's not in the quantity of our faith, but it is in the quality of who God is and God's faithfulness to us. You see, in asking that question, believe it or not, we're removing God's role in the whole faith question. It's not about the amount, but it is all about the one in whom you have faith in. God, our Creator, who keeps God's promise to us no matter what. God's faithfulness to us. That is what matters here. We just sang it. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness to me. Great is thy faithfulness, that you keep your word no matter what I do. Not that I should just be going out and doing whatever I want, because as we understand the greatness of this promise that is given and kept by Jesus, our hearts just naturally begin to grow in faith, all because of Jesus. Jesus is telling us here, size doesn't matter. Just get on with living out your faith. Faith is not about how much you have. It is about acting and doing for the sake of the other and for the sake of God's kingdom here on earth. Now, the language that Jesus uses can be very offensive today when he gives the example of the slave. It can be extremely offensive because of the history of our country. But back in the first century, servanthood, slavehood, that was very common. And a servant, a slave, was only identified based on who their master was. So, understanding that, who is your master? Who is your master? What kind of a lord, small l, do you have? To understand this, we look back at Luke 12. And that was a parable that said the master's coming back. He expects that the house will be ready for him when he gets there. But then what happens when the master gets there? The master prepares the meal for the servants, has them sit down at the table. You see, that's the kind of Lord, capital L, we have. When Jesus asked the question, who among you here, after your slaves have come in, would say, hey, sit down, put your feet up, you know, let me serve you. I mean, the way it's structured in Greek, the answer, based on how the language and the grammar in Greek works, the answer would be, nobody would do that. The answer would be, no. Yet, we know the type, K-N-O-W, of Lord that we have. The one who, before having the last meal with his disciples, knelt and washed their feet, served them the meal, not just the meal, but the meal, went to the cross all the way. That's the type of Lord, capital L, we have, the one who suffers for us. Jesus, God incarnate, who becomes a slave for the sake of us. And so what Jesus is saying is you too, T-O-O, are to do the same. Serve the other, and it is in the service that our faith is exercised. Faith is a muscle, and we have to use it. Faith is not assenting to creed, standing properly, sitting properly, kneeling properly, looking properly. Faith is doing, going, acting. It is lived out. Throughout Luke's gospel, there are examples of what we call faith in action, taking risks that challenge the status quo, persistence in searching out Jesus, not letting go for fear, not letting go that someone else will get the upper hand. Faith is responding with love in forgiveness, 70 times 7. Faith is forgiving. We saw that played out this week in the most beautiful of ways we could even possibly understand or imagine. As a Dallas police officer went into the wrong apartment, shot and killed a man, and convicted of murder, will be going to jail for this crime, and the victim's brother says, I forgive you. I forgive you. That's a tough one. That is faith in action. The same that happened in Charleston at Mother Emanuel Church. Saying to Dylan Roof, I forgive you. Faith is listening when someone is hurting and not giving them advice and telling them what they should do or trying to fix them. Faith is seeing what others don't see. Faith sometimes means keeping our mouth shut, and faith sometimes means opening our mouth and speaking up for someone who doesn't have the power to speak. The name of this congregation is Living Faith, and it's purposely named Living Faith. We thought long and hard about that, because Living Faith, we have a God who is faithful to us, Jesus Christ, God incarnate, who comes to us, takes on our sins, dies, does not stay dead, rises so that we may have new life. A God who forgives us every single day so that we may be reconciled to our merciful, gracious Creator. We are called to live into this relationship. We are called to go and do likewise. The size of our faith is not what is important. It is about the God who is faithful to us. And it's about us living into that trust. What if instead of Nick Valenda, that were God? What if that were God on that bicycle, on a unicycle? I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe that God can go across that tightrope with you on his shoulders? How would you answer that? Okay, the next question. Who would like to volunteer to be the person on God's shoulders as God is doing that? Who would like to be that person? Yes. Yes. You see the difference. You see the difference. Of course. That's the difference between faith and belief. Exercise, exercise, exercise your muscle of faith. So this week, your takeaway is to exercise your faith muscles. Because the only way it gets stronger is by doing, by going, by acting. That's how the trust will continue to build up. Now, I'm not saying that you don't pick up scripture and you don't pray and all that. Of course you have, you know, that's a part of it. But the key is to live it, to do it, and not just say it. So your takeaway for this week is exercise your muscles this week, your faith muscles, so that we may live our faith in the one who is faithful to us. Amen.